This talk is from GreatCatholicHomilies.com. The homilist is Father Anthony Branken of the Archdiocese of Chicago. St. Francis de Sales' attention to the little virtues of gentleness, humility, kindness, and cheerful optimism shape monastic life in the Salesian tradition. Learn about the Visitation Sisters at georgetownvisitation.org.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You know, earlier this week we celebrated a very beautiful feast day. It was the feast day of St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. Now that name, St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, sounds like a million saints' names, very traditional, very holy, and very ancient. That was the name of a 20th century nun who in the 1940s was executed along with millions of others in the Nazi death camps. Now, what makes this sister and saint particularly special is that she began her life as Jewish. She'd been born into a Jewish family, and in that sense, we could probably say she was a cousin of Jesus. And that in itself is something to meditate on. Now, her name before she became Catholic and a sister was Edith Stein. And as Edith Stein, she was a brilliant student and a professor of philosophy in the universities in Germany. But like many intellectuals of the era, she was an atheist. She did not believe in God. Now, yes, she may have been Jewish, but that was simply her nationality, because she possessed no faith in the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Israel, or any God, and she certainly didn't believe that Jesus was God. But because she was so intelligent, she kept thinking about God and whether or not he existed and how he might exist. She couldn't get away from this. Was there really a God or not? And if there was a God, did he know her? And if he knew her, did he love her? And if he loved her, why would he love her? She was so small, and the universe was so big. Why would this God, if there were a God, love little Edith Stein? And if there were such a thing as God, did he have a plan for her and for the world? And did he have laws for us to observe? Did he prepare a place for him in eternity, for us with him in eternity at the end of our lives on earth? And of course, she was right to ask those questions. And sometimes pretty much we need to ask those very same questions ourselves, because if there is no God, then why would there be anything? Why would there even be a universe? Why would there be stars and planets and galaxies? Why would there even be such a thing as love if there were no God to have created it? And if there is no God, how can it be that there is ever any order in the universe and in our lives? Without God, everything, including people, should be crashing into one another constantly. If there is no God, then there's no morality, no right or wrong, no goodness. And everything, including causing suffering to ourselves and others, is permitted if there is no God. Because if there is no God, then there is no one and no reason to say no to bad things. Without God, there is no real reason why we should be forbidden to do whatever we want, whenever we want, to whomever we want, and even if it hurts other people. Who's to say no? So Edith Stein thought of these issues, and she eventually concluded from using her mind and her heart that there had to be a God. Otherwise, nothing in this world makes any sense. Not things, not lives, not history, not people, not behavior. And her instinct was that this world does make sense. And she began to understand that the reason that we act in certain ways, and we know in our heart of hearts that we should be good and we should be helpful, is because there's a God, a good God, who created us to lead us back to him. After a good life on earth, he wants us to be with him in heaven. So she kept thinking, and she kept praying, and eventually she found herself believing in God and loving God. And she knew that this God was the true God, the one God, the God of her ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And she thought a little more, and she believed a little more, and she prayed a little more, and lo and behold, she now found herself loving Jesus. And she became more convinced than anything that Jesus was the Messiah, the promised of ages, the God made man come to save us from the sin of Adam and Eve and from our own sins. Now you can only imagine how difficult it was for her to tell her family that she now believed that Jesus was the Messiah, and that Mary was his virgin mother, and that she must become a Catholic and be baptized and do all the sacraments. And then the most spectacular bit of news eventually came to her family, that she was going to give her life, whole and entire, to Jesus as a nun in a Carmelite convent. Now that, of course, was hard enough. But she accomplished all this beautiful thinking and this faith and decision making. She did it during the ugliest and most awful time in the most awful century in history, at the beginning of World War II. We all know history. And I was just thinking of this. World War I began that century. They killed more people in World War I than in the previous 100 years of wars. World War II, the number of dead was even greater than the number of dead in World War I. The worst possible era and the worst possible century in human history, and she decides to become a Catholic. Now, as the Nazis and the communists and the capitalists fighting it out for all those years over the bodies of those poor innocent people, and they were fighting it out for total world power, and they slaughtered millions upon millions on the battlefields and firebomb cities and gas chambers and slave labor camps, and not one of these governments or politicians believed in God, or if they believed in God, did he, God, have anything to do with any of the decisions they made. They certainly did not care about right or wrong, or who they killed, or how they killed them. This is the era of governments without God. Government atheism. No God meant no mercy, no love, no charity, no goodness, no peace, no hope, only death and destruction and starvation and misery. And this is the era in which Edith Stein became a Catholic and a nun. And these are the people who killed her, millions of others with her. The atheists killed her, because she was not only Jewish, but she compounded the problem by being a Catholic. She was the wrong nationality and the wrong religion. Don't believe them when they say the Nazis were Christians or Catholics and they were taught to persecute the Jews. Sorry, the Nazis, as well as the communists, were atheists. They gave up their religion a long time ago. They were now socialists, and they believed in nothing but themselves and in the forces of history and in the power of the governed and the will to power. They did not believe in God. They didn't believe in heaven. They didn't believe in goodness. And so they felt that they could do anything they wanted in order to achieve their goals, even if it meant killing millions. The Nazis killed 6 million Jews. They killed about 6 million Polish Catholics. And we never hear how the communists intentionally killed in the Ukraine about 20 million people by engineering a famine. Modern atheists always tell us the religion is the cause of the greatest suffering in history. Religion is the cause of all the wars. Baloney. It's irreligion or no religion, most particularly atheism, that causes wars and death and destruction and tears and heartaches in incredible quantities. And we could almost say with some sad irony that the martyrdom of Edith Stein, Sister Teresa Benedicta, proves the necessity of the existence of God. Because if it is true that only in God do we find right order and right living, peace and happiness, and that is the claim of Christians and Catholics, then a world without God is not going to have peace and happiness. It's going to be troubled and sad and tearful and bloody. The world of the 20th century, the world of death camps and genocide, the world of atomic holocaust and firebombing, the world of torture and terror, and millions of deaths and untold hurt, that's the world of God. That's the world that murdered poor little Edith Stein, the world without God. And it keeps happening now in the 21st century. We still see it every day in the newspapers, the media, the riots, the crime, the shootings, the murderings, the muggings, the wars and disasters. This is the legacy of a world without God. It's what happens every time we as people forget God or ignore Him or disbelieve Him. If we ever think that we as individuals or as citizens do not need God, that all we need is what the world is going to give us, money and fun and things and television shows and celebrity news, then we're laying ourselves open to an immense amount of personal and family suffering. The tragedy of not believing in God, the consequence of abandoning God, is the heartache, the pain, and the suffering that happens not just in the political spheres, but in our little families, in our homes, in our lives. Where there is no God, there's no order, no goodness, no happiness. And the proof of that is the lack of prayer in our lives and in our homes, and the failure to worship God and make Him and His church and His laws the center of our lives. That's what makes for tears and sufferings in all of our homes, in all of our families. It's not lack of money that causes such stress among husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, children and parents. You couldn't buy a house big enough to give you true happiness. You couldn't furnish your house with enough televisions, one in every room, that would guarantee you peace and love in your home. You couldn't purchase enough iPods and Blackberries to quiet the complaints among the people with whom you live. None of that, neither wealth nor luxury, none of that will prevent a divorce, or stop the infidelity, or quiet the shouting, or still the arguments, or end the drinking and the abuse. Only God. In fact, life in our families without God is a mirror of life in the world without God. One long heartache, an ocean of tears, a wail in the night. And it has always been so. So that's exactly why Edith Stein became a Catholic. She understood that there must be a God. And it is He alone who gives us happiness and contentment in this world. And if there is no God, then it's all tragic and full of suffering. Her life taught about the goodness and the necessity of God, and her death was the proof of how true it is. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Hear more talks like these at greatcatholichomilies.com.